morning, everyone. I'm back. So yes, today we are continuing our study in the Sermon of the Mount, and this is our fifth study, actually, or a sixth study. I can't remember. Yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. So we're all interested in the Lord's Prayer. We always use the Lord's Prayer constantly, it seems. It gives us an outline of how to pray. And that's why I've been giving this outline to you, because it just shows us that there's really something about prayer that we need to consider, and that is to know how to pray and have effective prayer. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy having an answered prayer life. I want to have my prayers answered. And this week we're going to go again, give us this day our daily bread, and we're going to start out in Luke 11. So if you go to Luke 11, we're going to start out there. We're going to go into verses 1 through 4, as we have been. And the text this morning, and it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So I suppose as introduction, we can fail to trust God's daily provision by becoming greedy and expecting more, or by overworking to provide for ourselves. Throughout Scripture, however, he promised us, give us this day our daily bread. Today we're going to see how God reminds us that our Heavenly Father knows our needs long before you ask for them. Just like your father did, your mother did when you were growing up, you could care less as a kid, right? Oh, it looks like you need new shoes. Get your toes popping out of them, you know, whatever. Ah, okay. Kid doesn't care. The kids expected to have food on the table. The kids expected, you know, that they would be clothed. The kids expected these things. And that's it. And we should have the same expectation for our Heavenly Father as he provides the things that we need for everyday life. And because that we are able to work hard, we live in security, and we be content with God's perfect providence. We are to pray, and Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and the request of them, Lord, teach us how to pray. Jesus has now provided a form of words that his disciples are given to use in the course of their prayer. The elements of the Lord's Prayer that we have gone through already, God, we have to have that personal relationship with God. Our Father, if we need to be, God has to be our Father. We have to have a personal relationship with the living God. That comes first. Secondly, there was faith. Who art in heaven. Thirdly, worship. Hallowed be thy name. hallowing his name and not using his name in vain. Then there's an expectation. Thy kingdom come. We're expecting the kingdom to come. Actually, we talked about that. We're already living in part of that kingdom, the kingdom of God. But there's a kingdom yet to be fulfilled. And that's when we leave, when everything comes to fruition. Of all the things that Jesus talked about are recorded in his word. Then there's submission. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We learned that last week. And this week, today is provision. God, give us day by day our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity to pray today. It certainly is a blessing to be back and to share the word of God once again to these people, your sheep. Lord, we want to know how to pray too. We want to have our prayers answered. We want to be able to be triumphant in prayer. We want to be able to have no, hindrances so that we can turn to you at any time and receive that which you have for us. Knowing, Lord, also that there's a no, there's a wait in our prayers. There's a patience. And so, Lord, we look to you showing us how to pray. And today we're going to learn something about having our prayers answered and our provisions day by day. So, Lord, bless the time, bless this message and the hearts and the seed that is about to be planted in this, hopefully, the fallow ground that we have, and that we'll be able to open up the ground and then plant the seed and see fruit here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice that prayer has an order. Starting with our personal relationship, then our faith, our worship, our expectation, then our submission. And then the sixth part of the prayer is give us each day our daily bread. He's telling us first to seek God in our daily needs. God knows our needs, doesn't he? Doesn't he know what you need? He knows it before we even ask. And what does this mean? Yeah, give us this day our daily bread. It's the daily bread. We had communion last week. Is our communion bread of the Lord our daily bread? Some said that. Others suggest that bread being referred to is the word of God. Should we be reading the word of God every day? Hello? Yeah, should be. I mean, do you eat every day? Yeah, we better. Yeah, we eat every day. So yes, if you're going to spiritually feed yourself, then to be nourished in the Lord, to be strengthened spiritually, we need to eat the word of God every day. It was interesting that in Exodus, when good old manna started showing up in the time of the wilderness, what was the command? Does anybody know what the command was that God gave Moses to tell the people about the manna? Huh? Just take what you need. Take what you need. Yep. No saving it, so it's just day by day. And what happened on the Sabbath? It was a double portion, because you're not supposed to cook or anything, on the Sabbath in those days and whatever. Okay, yeah. And so if you didn't, what would happen? It would stink. It would rot. It's just saying it would be. We having more of that manna tonight. Ugh. We've been having that for 30 years now, every day. Manna this, manna that. Manna cupcakes, manna barley, manna coddy. Gotta do all kinds of things with manna.
Because it just gets bored. Imagine having the same thing. Oh, turkey. After turkey, after Thanksgiving, having turkey for the next 5 days gets a little boring, doesn't it? Got a sandwich at this time, you got a soup this time, you're going to have to do this time, and whatever. I mean, you have to do something with manna. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they had to become very creative, you know. But if they didn't do something with it, it would stink and so on. And so now we have the lesson was clear in Exodus 16. Number one, daily dependence upon God. That's what they had to do. It was a daily dependence on God, and that's what we have. We have a daily dependence. Number two, the sanctity of one day in seven. You know? Yeah. Sabbath. They had a Sabbath day that they had to wait, and everything God would provide for it just by faith. He'll give it to you, and then you just have that Sabbath day. Number three, the sinfulness of selfish hoarding which God supplies. That's a tough one. I don't know if you've ever run a food pantry or anything like that in our church back in New York. Well, yeah, well, this is New York. I'm talking about up in the Canadian border. I had a church up there, and there was we had a food pantry there, and it was the church was running the food pantry, and it was kind of interesting because you'd be surprised how careful we had to be on who. In how to distribute the food, because people would start hoarding. Very common, you know, we need extra, you know? So yeah, and then, but it got to the point that we had to end up closing it down. First of all, lack of workers, and secondly, that people were taking more than what they needed, even as far as the help was concerned. So that got a little bit tough. But, you know, it happens. We hoard it in buffets, you know. You guys going up for the 10th time on a buffet for the same price, you know. Hey, no, you go sit down, you know, no more. We just overeat, just to overeat. We hoard things. God said he provide. He provide for you, you know. God, when you take that old Testament picture, when you come to the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, you can understand it in that way. You realize and wonder that God's plan in teaching his people in every age to trust not in the provision which you see, but make us more for the, you know, kind of makes us more for the trust in the provider instead. That's what causes us to grow. God said he was going to do something. Let's watch him do it. Have you ever prayed that way? Ever prayed with an open Bible? God, you said you did it here, God. You did this. You said this. I need this. Can you provide this? There's a challenge. It's not challenge. It's not being arrogant. It's just saying, like, God, you told us to trust in you. You told us that we would live by your promises. I'm living by your promises. This is what I want. This is what I need for my family. I have a bill to pay. It's amazing some things that I've been able to, you know, you glean from your Christian life on how God has provided so many times. I mean, I could write another book on how the things that God provided and what he has done, and it prayed specifically for it, and it came. There was one time my first pastor, his son Craig was praying one. We had a storm. Well, we live in New Hampshire at the time. We had a storm similar to the one a couple of weeks ago. We had that ice storm, and there was all that ice and the water, and it just built up on the house, you know, the entrance to the house. and so on. And it was only just like a walk-in and a little roof thing and whatever. And it was just totally iced up. And so Craig prayed one day and he says, he prayed that the Lord would remove the ice. Well, he didn't pray specifically enough because he removed the ice because he took down the whole part of the building. So, you know, sometimes we just have to pray specific. God, leave the building, leave the part going, you know, the entranceway, but take the ice out. You know, I mean, sometimes you just have to be more specific than others. But, you know, but that's, you know, praying specifically is very helpful, you know, to avoid. So there was the scripture tells us to be faithful in our prayers. So we have today, don't take any for tomorrow, as like they did in the Old Testament, because I want you to be able to wake up tomorrow morning and discover that the same God who provided for you today will be there tomorrow to provide again. If you try and carry it through tomorrow, I'll teach you a lesson. With the manna, if they kept it, it would stink up the kitchen, right? It was going to rot and going to turn the worms and so on. And that's what he left them instructions. And we discover that God told Aaron to keep some in a jar. Somehow, the air did not rot it, but it reminded of everybody, look at God's provision. This is what God would like. They kept that, for it lasted one generation. And so that's, let's be absolutely clear then, bread, give us today our daily bread, sums up to basic material needs in our life. You know, remember that song, and I know my son does, and I'm sure that anyone who knows the Jungle Book, the bare necessities. Get those bare necessities, those simple bare necessities, you know? Yeah, that's exactly, you know, it's simple bare necessities. And now that's what Jesus is speaking about. He's speaking about bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. God placed the simple bare necessities in the prayer at the middle of the prayer, where you would have to place this line item of importance. If you were to compose this prayer, Jesus says, when you pray, say, give us today our daily bread. No, why? He didn't put that in the beginning of the prayer. He said, because God the Father cares about us personal in our practical, in our material issues. He cares for us. Jesus made it perfectly clear in Matthew 6, where he chides his disciples for worrying about, you know, what you're going to wear, you know, what you're going to eat, and so on. Remember, the pagans run after those things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. He's not going to keep you from them. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Putting God first in our life, that's the most important thing that we do. You know, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Seek ye first the kingdom, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You know, God, we have to have that, build that relationship to a living God, because he's the one that's ultimately providing those things for us. Who gave you the job that you had? I mean, most of us are probably retired, but, you know, I mean, you're not retired yet. Well, you're getting there. You're retired? Yeah, me too. I mean, God provided up until then, and he still does, doesn't he? One way or the other. And he does. And he meets those, and he knows what our needs are. You know, so it's throwing our whole weight of our anxieties upon him. You are his personal concern. You are a child of God. He cares for you. That's what he says. Casting all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. He cares for me. He watches over me. He takes care of us. He gets us what we need. We're warm. We have those things. And if you get more than enough, praise God. We get to put it away and to store. There's nothing wrong with storing and saving. I mean, we can see that with Joseph, with the food and, you know, saving for a rainy day and retirements and so on. I mean, yeah, saving 20% of Joseph was told to save 20% of all the food that you take in, and you're going to be able to live for a long time. It works. It's a great number. So you're saving 30% of your pay, 20% for retirement, and 10% for the Lord. And the rest is yours. You know, and it's a perfect formula. God figures everything out for us. You know, he says, if we being earthly know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? So, what are you asking God for today? I can imagine what you're asking God for. We've been asking God for some things too, and that's peace. Having some peace of heart in our mind, in our souls, you know, after losing a grandson. That peace, that we need that peace and that patience that answers a lot of things. And yet he's the God of consolation. He wants us to be consoled. There are certain prayers that we're going to pray for certain reasons and for certain things. Our Father knows best. Therefore, we may approach him in confidence, because he's going to give us everything if we embrace him as our Father, in order that we hallow his name, in order that we seek to understand all that he has, it means for his kingdom he comes and on earth as it is in heaven. He's going to provide those things. God knows our needs. He is able to distinguish between our needs and our desires. They're two different things. What do children like to pray or ask mom and dad for more than anything else? Is it their needs or their desires? Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, mom and dad know the needs. But the children, I want that, right? They do it all the time. We have a 9-year-old. That's what he, you know. What would you like, Christopher? That. There'll be some sort of puzzle what's it, Legos now. He puts these Lego toys together. They're only like about this big and everything. He could put those together. How long? Half an hour? It'd take me 3 days to do that. He does them well. He loves doing those things. He's just mechanical in that way. Kids do things on desire. I want that. I like that toy. Or I want that donut, you know. But it's not necessarily what you need, son, you know. Mom and dad are concerned about, well, you need sneakers, okay? You need a new coat. You need that. Who needs a coat, you know? But it's our parents. So God is interested in you. He wants to meet your needs. God knows our needs. The writer of Proverbs understands the distinction between what we may desperately long to acquire and what we so desperately need. Ask with great wisdom. In Proverbs 30, verse 8, it says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily needs. In other words, don't make me really rich and don't make me really poor. Just give me my daily bread. Yeah, I don't want to, because the scripture's clear, if we have so much that we blaspheme God in some way by forgetting him, or if we don't have enough, we say, God, you promised, and now we're blaspheming him again. Give me enough so that, you know, that I don't disown you, God. I need you. I may have too much and disown you. Who's the Lord? Who's that? I don't want to dishonor God's name. I already prayed, you know, that hallowed be thy name. And now, because he didn't give me what I wanted, I'm going to be mad at God? Why? God knows down the road what you're going to do, what you're going to do with it. He knows what you need already. No wonder the writer of Proverbs is called such a wise man. Give me neither poverty nor riches. The one may make me so affluent that I may give the impression to myself and everyone else that I don't need God for my provision. I got my daily needs. I have all kinds of money. The other makes me so desperate and impoverished that I go out and start stealing stuff and, you know, stealing things from the back of people's cars, I would dishonor the name of God. So, you know, keep me even, Lord. Keep me even. You see, each of us will have temptations on either side, won't we? An entire materialistic and affluent environment, one of the hardest things for us is to take the phrase and say, sincerely, give us this day, because I want a storehouse in my heart, just in case. Just, what if someone, remember, come on, we remember the times when we were growing up and we had our teenage friends coming over, and all of a sudden, they're going to stay for dinner. And what did mom do? Just put another can of something on or stuff it with bread or do something just to make it last, you know, because she wouldn't turn down, you know, this time with our friends that we could probably eat around the table. But she would just kind of, yeah, we'll just get a loaf of bread. We'll, you know, here we go. We're all going to eat fine. Sharing what's been given. Again, praying this way reminds ourselves that our Father knows our needs. Our Father is best, and our Father wants us to share what we have with other people. This doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread. It says, give us today our daily bread. Whatever you give me is ours, Lord. You didn't give it just to me, did you? So I could stash it and put it away or parade it or gorge myself or whatever. I have a responsibility for someone else. So he gives you a few extra dollars and all of a sudden, you know what happens? Your heat goes out. Right? Something goes wrong with the car. And I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I just had this saved. Yeah, well, I'm going to show you that you need to trust me. Trust me. I don't want to trust you. I like having a little storehouse or something. I really, God, please, you know? I mean, you know, when we read our Bibles, God says, you pray, give us today our daily bread. I'll make sure you have what is essential. I'm going to give it to you. I will distinguish for you the between the needs and the wants. I will give you, you know, I'll give you the awareness of the fact that to whom is much given, much is required. Yeah. And the reason that God gives us all is all we need is so that then we can give some to others who don't have enough. And that's how God provides. because you had plenty and they didn't, God says, hey, you know what? They need two. Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. Well, we'll invite them over and, you know, we'll help them out. Sure. In 2 Corinthians 9, let's turn to that for a second. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to have a finance lesson. Second Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Right? You plant, it, whatever you plant, you're going to get back, unless a deer eat it. I mean, I've learned that real quick. So you plant extra, then they have extra, you know. I still want that deer because it's... And he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So if you plant a lot of seed in the spring, you'll get a lot, you'll get a bountiful, okay? Every man according to as a purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So that's what James, picks up in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. I'm going to paraphrase it. You say that you're a very good Christian, and you have faith, and you are a Bible-believing Christian, you honor God, and you've been baptized, and your faith is really quite exemplary. So, let me ask you a question. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you will say to him, go, I wish you well. Have a great day. See you next week in church. Be warm and fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? What good is your Christianity if we can't share it? No matter what. It's not good at all. So you think for a moment that prayer here is driven by selfishness of in order that we may be heard, or that we may hoard, I should say, that we may accrue to ourselves that which may line our nests and secure ourselves against all advances and ravagings of the world and intimidate us. And just in case the world falls apart, we're going to have plenty of food. I'll be honest with you. I put away the instant foods, right, for disaster. I bought a bunch, and I keep it up in the attic. Well, it's my second bunch that I put in the attic. You know why? Because I didn't put it in a waterproof case, and the mice ate it before me. I was not smart. So I put everything else in a plastic tin, a plastic tub thing from, you know, Dollar General, and I put some stuff there you need to put water and potatoes and different things and whatever, and I put it away just in case there's a disaster and there's no food. We have something for our family. I don't know how long. I think it's one of the 15, 20 days or something like that, whatever. But yeah, instant food, what survival sometimes, but that's put away and up in the attic, nobody touches it, hopefully. Not even the mice this time, I'm wiser this time. But you know, times will fall upon people. We see it in the Bible very, very often. You know, as I said with Joseph, he saved things for that disaster. Seven years of plenty for the 7 years of drought. He saved it. And he sold it. He didn't give it away. He sold it or traded it. It's not like our government. They give you everything. They bought it. They traded their cattle if they didn't have any money. But they got something for it. That's why there were so many cattle, so many things in Egypt. And it's a good thing that the children of Israel were herdsmen. Somebody had to do it. It was a good thing that they were there and they had the experience. Yeah, I granted there are people impoverished because of government. There are times when you lose a job. There are times when health problems arise. There are some things that people need assistance with. There are missions out there. There are truly legitimate needs of support. How many missionaries do you have? Five? Good. You need to support missionaries. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 3, 4, 4 foreign missionaries, and then we're doing the pregnancy center over in Pittsfield is our fourth one or fifth one. But you're doing something with church money. You're doing something and you're bringing the gospel and you're showing this is missions. That's what missions is all about. You know, because we're all going to be judged on accountable for to God of what he provides us. Everybody, the church will, individuals will. Churches, individuals who have money, they're going to die with all kinds of money. And God's going to one day going to say, why did you die with so much money in your wallet? Why didn't you give it to so-and-so when they had a need? Why didn't you give it to this church program because of this missionary that's going out and doing something? You know, we need to be careful on how we not only take in our money, but use it. You know, it's certainly be gone in an instant, can it? Savings can dry up in an instant. Either an economic crash or a socialist takeover, sickness. Put your hope in God and he'll give you all things richly to enjoy. And I heard this from a radio commentator. And if you could equalize all income, if socialism came and you equalize everybody in this room to this, everyone makes the same amount of money, the rich were made, eventually in time, the rich will become richer, the same that they had, and the poor will be poorer because that's all they know how to do. Everybody could here have $100,000, come back to me in a year and we'll see how much you saved or lost. Because we all have spending habits. If you know how to make money, you'll increase your goods. If you don't know how to make any money, it's gonna all be gone. We all have nobody can be equal because we all have habits that we do. I want to leave you with this. The faith of George Mueller. Everybody read George Mueller? No George Mueller? Oh man, you got to read. Anything you can get. George Mueller was a Christian evangelist and the director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for 10,024 orphans in his lifetime. He provided educational opportunities for the orphans to the point where he had been given and he even accused by some of raising the poor above their natural station in British life. He established 117 schools which offered Christian education to more than 120,000 people. This is a quote from one of his books. The children were dressed ready for school, but there was no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her asked to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the table. There was no food. Sit at the table. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as he always did. And within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I couldn't sleep. Somehow I knew that you needed some bread this morning, and I got up and I made three batches of bread for you this morning. Isn't that something? Praying by faith. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down just in front of the orphanage. God broke. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some milk. Yeah. Funny you ask. Yeah. So he smiled at the milkman, brought in 10 large cans of milk, just enough for 300 children. Talk about living by faith. One of the mightiest men of prayer of the last generation was George Mueller, who in his last 60 years of his life, he lived to be 92 or 93, obtained the English equivalent of $7,200,000 just by prayer. But George Mueller never prayed for anything just because he wanted it, or even just because he felt it was greatly needed just for the work of God. But when he was laid upon his heart to pray for anything, he would search the scriptures, he would find it there with some promises that covered the case. And sometimes he would search the scriptures for days before he presented his petition to God. And then when he found the promise, he would open the pages like I have done in my past, and he would use his fingers upon that promise. God, you promised this. And God would do it. Fervent in prayer. Imagine. What could this church do if we had some George Muellers in here talking about financing and pastors and everyday life, building missions and ministries? What could you do as a church? It could be a mighty powerful church, no doubt. Give us this day our daily bread. Heavenly Father, thank you that we've been able to be here today and just to learn something about our daily needs and provisions. And Lord, how you do want to meet those needs and how you really do. And Lord, you provide finances, or you let things really, Lord, even in the desert, it seemed as though that the clothes that they wore seemed to last forever. And, you know, and while we are doing your will, Father, that you always seem to provide what we need. And Lord, it's always at the right time. Lord, show us how we can live by faith day by day. Lord, and we know that it would please you because it is your will. But it is also, you promise to meet every need. We don't have to be afraid of not having that need met. Lord, please bless this message and let it be fruitful. 30, 60, 100-fold even today in Jesus' name. Amen.